fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week I'm joined by Chef Stephen LaRosa. Now, I've got to say, you know, you're quite young, and so I was a bit nervous about inviting you on because I thought, what's your list going to be? I did have to look everything up, I'll be honest with you.
Well, everything.
Yeah, well, I knew the first one and the last one.
Okay, excellent.
The first one kind of makes me smile because you do look like a bit of one of, you look like one of them a bit. Is that why you've chosen?
No, not at all. This is actually something that not a lot of people know, but
okay.
This is the first song is representative of the very first album that I ever bought.
Okay.
And you will see the musical tastes have sort of shifted quite a bit.
Luckily for
yeah,
you,
yeah.
So this is the Backstreet Boys we're talking about.
Yes,
so, yeah.
Precisely. So if I'm not mistaken, I was about maybe 10 or 11 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of my musical knowledge came from listening to what my parents would listen to, which was things like Queen, Elton John, excellent stuff.
Uh-huh.
But at that age, you start watching television, MTV was a big thing at the time, and I was pretty nuts about the Backstreet Boys,
mm-hmm.
and I believe Boyzone was the other album that I bought at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little cringy in hindsight, but it mm-hmm. is what sort of was my first personal journey into music.
And but you
and
still,
yeah.
So it just reminds you of being 10, 11,
it's
first
not
albums.
Something that I think I've ever picked up. It hasn't entered my Spotify playlist once kind of thing, so it's not really something that I listened to, but it's definitely a memory of like, wow, this was the first album that I actually bought, and
uh-huh.
like, wow, this is me developing my own personal taste in music.
I was much cooler than you, obviously, because mine was Anita Ward, Ring My Bell.
Okay,
you know, so that was
cool.
That was my very first album, but I'm obviously a lot older than you. But so we just have to listen to this one, because this
please,
is something
please,
you
please.
Just can't sit still to. Backstreet Boys. Everybody. Now the next one, a little bit darker.
A little bit darker.
We've got Linkin Park.
Okay, yeah. So now we're entering the angsty teenage phase.
Yeah, so did you know you were going to be a chef by this point? Were you
into food? That hadn't entered the picture yet. I was still pretty much on the side at this point. So we're talking maybe 13, 14, I think, when the first album, Hybrid Theory, came out. I loved it. Again, the majority of the music that I would consume was through MTV. And this was sort of as... perhaps like the closest to metal, hard rock alternative that MTV would get. And I just adored Linkin Park. I knew the lyrics to every single song on that album. Still remains a song that I really appreciate. And when I found out that Chester had passed away a few years ago, I was pretty devastated. Because they were what sort of began shaping what now is a lot more representative of my current musical tastes. But no, absolutely love this song. Absolutely love the whole album. The first two albums were incredible.
Because I did have to look this up. I had no idea who they were. Like, I must have stepped off the planet at this point in time.
It was every teenager at the time that was thought themselves to be a little bit edgy would be listening.
So what year would this have been? Don't say 2000 and something. You are going to say 2000 and something, aren't you?
Either early 2000s or... It has to be early 2000s, yeah. I didn't look up much of the sort of chronological time. I'm just thinking back to, okay, what period in my life?
Were you there?
But if I must have been, so we're talking 2013, perhaps? 2012?
Okay, yep. So I'm going to introduce Campus FM audience to Linkin Park. And this track's called In the End.
It starts with one thing. I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I'm designed to try to explain in due time. All I know, time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock takes life away. It's so unreal. Didn't look out below. Watch the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on to, didn't even know. I wasted it all just to watch you go. Inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time I tried so hard and got so far. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had too far to lose it all. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. One thing, I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to remind myself how I tried so hard. In spite of the way you were mocking me, acting like I was part of your property. Remembering all the times you fought with me, I'm surprised it got so. Things aren't the way they were before. You wouldn't even recognize me anymore. Not that you knew me back then, but it all comes back to me in the end. You kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to me will eventually be a memory. I tried so hard and got so far, but in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had too far to lose it all, but in the end, it doesn't even matter. I put my trust in you, pushed as far as I can go. For all this, there's only one thing you should know. I've put my trust in you, pushed as far as I can go. For all this, there's only one thing you should know. I tried so
okay, now I think this is definitely going to be a first for Campus FM. I'm going to play in Metallica. Now, again, I sort of see people with the T-shirts and we're a bit frightened by Metallica. But when I looked up this song, it's actually not as wild and scary as I thought it was going to be.
And I think overall you see a lot of these bands with very ostentatious names, things like Metallica, Megadeth, you automatically go, oh my god, who are these people? And this was sort of the beginnings of me getting into a different sort of age of music. Mm-hmm. I actually discovered this song because I believe I was in junior six, I must have been about 15, 16. And back then was just the beginning of sort of being able to pirate music and put it on discs, and like all the kids sort of trade CDs, uh-huh. so to speak. We don't have the streaming services we have nowadays. And somebody had made me a mixed CD that had all the pop hits of the time.
Was it a romantic? Was it like a mixtape thing?
No, not at all. It was the kind of thing, give one of your guy friends €5, whatever they were at the time, and he'll give you a CD with your favorite tracks. And it was things like, I believe, Destiny's Child at the time. There was Ludacris on there, Eminem. And then he had popped this in there because he thought that I would enjoy it. And I was like, wow, what is this? How have I missed out on all this? I didn't used to listen to much VH1.
Okay.
So my music from a different age knowledge wasn't super. And when I heard this, I was like, oh my god, this is an entire genre of music that I listened to it on repeat for a while.
And what is it? Is it the sort of guitar-y type heaviness of it?
I was really into guitar music at the time, sort of, I guess, stemming from bands like Linkin Park. I was mm-hmm. into punk a little bit at the time, so Blink-182, Sum 41. And this was like similar sort of elements, but presented in a very different way. And I like the sort of rock and roll image to it. Uh-huh. So this was a good one. This was the beginning of a good couple of years of going down a rabbit hole on a certain genre of music.
And did you have the t-shirt?
I did actually have several t-shirts to the disdain of my father, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once we went on... Actually, no, I'll save that for the next song. That's
okay.
A separate story. That's
okay,
separate
so this story. Is Metallica, Enter Sandman. It's quite a long one, so we're just going to play a bit of
this
one.
Yeah, you probably don't need to play the entirety of this.
Now, this next one's got to be dad influence. I'm so hoping for your sake it's dad influence, because Pink Floyd we have here.
Oh,
so
okay, no, so this was definitely in the rock sort of t-shirt phase. This is a very clear memory because, let's think age, I guess I was about 17 at the time, mm-hmm. and I believe Roger Waters was coming to Malta.
Ah, okay.
I was a teenager at the time, so I didn't have an enormous amount of money. Tickets were exorbitantly expensive, but if I'm not mistaken, he was playing in Pembroke in the big car park in front of Luxor, essentially. So they filled up an entire car park. And I used to hang out there fairly frequently. I had friends who lived in Sweden. I went to school in Pembroke, so I knew the area relatively well. And there were a few sort of small utility buildings surrounding the area that we knew nobody would be around when the concert was showing. So we climbed up this sort of small one-story building just to the side of the concert. We had an amazing sort of bird's eye view of the entire thing. Audio quality, not the best, but just being there as a 17-year-old without having to buy a ticket, that was amazing.
The best.
It was an incredible performance. I was just getting into Pink Floyd at the time, so this was...
So a proper rebel as well. That was your sort of...
Sort of, yeah. So we were a group of three, and I was perhaps the most hesitant and cautious of doing it.
Yeah, now you say that.
I was sort of the wimpy one of the group going, yeah, maybe this isn't such a good idea. But in hindsight, it was an incredible
idea. The best time ever. Yeah. So I'm hoping your other two mates listen out to this and remember. So we've got Pink Floyd's Brain Damage.
The lunatic is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. And if the dam breaks open many years too soon, and if there is no room upon the hill, your head explodes with our proposed juice. I'll see you on the dark side of the moon. The lunatic is in my head. The lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door, throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me. Thank you.
taste all you feel, and all that you love, and all that you hate, all you distrust, all you say, and all that you give, and all that you deal, and all that you buy, beg, borrow, or steal, and all you create, and all you destroy, and all that you do, and all that you say, and all that you meet, and everyone you meet, and all that you slight, and everyone you fight, and all that is now, and all that is gone, and all that's to come, and everything under the sun is in view, but the sun is a close by.
Now this one I do know, the White Stripes bit
yeah,
a bit more lively, Seven Nation Army. I knew this one. I felt quite proud of myself.
It's a track that you can't not sort of know. If you've watched any football game, the crowd will begin chanting it at some point, inevitably. And it's just one of those things that. So actually, let's rewind a second. I decided to pick up the guitar.
Okay.
I love this kind of music, and I was like, wow, I really want to play this kind of music. Something I didn't understand is that to develop a craft like that, you need to practice. Mm-hmm. So when I picked up the guitar and was like, okay, I don't exactly sound like them. This is quite hard. You turn to songs with very, very simple, punchy sort of riffs and lines, and this was one of the few that I could actually pull off in my year and a half, 2 years of guitar. I was pretty miserable. But it was a fun hobby.
But you gave that up, you never went back to...
The guitar still exists.
Yeah. Piece of art now, hanging on a wall.
That's exactly what they've become, yeah. Okay. Eventually, someday, I'll pick that up again. Sort of when I discovered cooking and how much of like a passion that was for me. That's where the majority of my time investment for let's develop skills went. Someday, I think, we'll restore the balance and pick up a guitar again.
So you know it takes time to do something. You don't just...
Yes, precisely.
You know,
at this point, I've come to appreciate that, yes, things do take time to get good at.
Maybe when something's in the oven, you can be practicing guitar.
Precisely.
Multitasking's not for men.
No, especially not for me. No, I'm miserable.
So that's the White Stripes, Seven Nation Army. You are going to sort of start waving your arms in the car to this, even if you're not a football fan. Now, Guns N' Roses. Now, you know, he was a looker. He was not an ugly man. But no, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take it with.
He was not an ugly man, but he was the only reason I would look at their music, not listen
okay, fair
to
enough.
Look at their music.
Yeah.
You understand. So I was quite not surprised to see this on the list after I'd seen a couple of them. But Welcome to the Jungle is actually quite gentle for them.
So that the reason I chose that was because it's from the, if I'm not mistaken, it's the opening track to the album Appetite for Destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to, you mentioned the t-shirts earlier.
Yeah.
So I quite liked the t-shirts, but I didn't actually own any at the time of the sort of memory of the song. We were on a family trip, I believe, in London.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in some music store that probably no longer exists because we have streaming. And I saw a couple of t-shirts which I quite liked. And you couldn't really find these sort of things in Malta. There wasn't this sort of expansive selection. And I picked three which I quite liked. One was an AC/DC one. One was an Appetite for Destruction one. So the album of Guns N' Roses.
Uh-huh.
And the third one was an Iron Maiden one. And I believe it had some, like, demon thing on it.
Aww.
And I was with my family at the time. And my mother was very much of the opinion, he's a kid, let him do what he wants sort of thing. And my father was like, when he saw the t-shirt saying Appetite for Destruction, he was like, this is terrible. This is the wrong message. It was a long rant, which inevitably ended in me getting the t-shirts.
But it sounds, I think, Appetite for Destruction, actually a great name for some foodie-related business. Maybe, you know.
That's good. We'll talk later. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Let's talk while the track's playing. Again, this is quite a long one, so we'll see how far we go. Now this, I had no idea of this. Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, amazing.
I can't even, what's it called there? I need my glasses, that's how old I am.
So this one is called Turning on a Screw.
Uh-huh.
The reason I chose this, so I discovered Queens of the Stone Age. This is when I had begun the chefy phase.
Ah.
So I was working in a kitchen at this point. Queens of the Stone Age is sort of like an alternative rock group, I guess you'd call them, though their musical style is very varied. And they have sort of this, not off-key, but this sort of, you'll get the feel of their music by listening to this track.
Mm-hmm.
I got into this as soon as I sort of got into kitchens. One of the waiters sort of showed me this band, and I absolutely fell in love. They're still my most listened to band to this day.
Okay.
And this album, I believe it was Eva Vulgaris, was one that I would listen to religiously on the walk to work. This was the first song, and it has a really great sort of rhythm and kick to it. I love this one.
There is something about chefy music, actually. I don't know, you sort of, chefs are generally, I mean, you're you're not that I can see, but you know, very tattooed and pierced and they have this kind
image,
of music,
yes,
you taste,
yes,
don't
precisely.
They? What? Why is that? Is it because of the pace in the kitchen? What's the?
I think the pace definitely has something to do with it. The sort of this edgy message to it. There's mm-hmm. an energy to it. The sort of image of a chef that sort of was popularized by people like, let's say, Anthony Bourdain was mm-hmm. very much this rock and roll lifestyle, especially in the beginnings of it when it wasn't looked upon as a respectable career. It was something you got into if you were a little bit of an outcast, if you were sort of, you didn't have a formal education, let's mm-hmm. say. And this sort of music lends itself to the same type of person, I think.
Kind of angry, proving a point, yeah. kind of. Yeah,
precisely,
so you just don't
precisely.
Look like that.
I've grown since then. I actually used to have long hair at the point.
Oh, okay.
I'll show you a picture.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I do need to see that.
I actually cut that off mm-hmm. after a couple incidents where I was, let's say I'd have my head down. There was one instance when I was on a plane and the person asked me if I wanted a drink, called me madam. Passport control, mm-hmm. Made a comment about how my dad was surrounded by women. I was with my mother and sister at the time because I was sort of head in a book, sort of
yes.
hair down.
Yes.
I was like, okay, this has
and,
to
And, you know, as
this
a chef, you need to get it off anyway or
yeah,
put it in a hair
exactly.
net or something and hair nets are gross. But yeah,
100%.
So better to just shave it off. So we'll go back to the Queens of the Stone Age again. Brand new for me. Fighters. It's one of those bands' names that it's just so cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the Fighters. Everlong. Why did you pick this particular?
So, Foo Fighters were a band that I absolutely adored. I really liked Dave Grohl when he was in Nirvana, and mm-hmm. seeing him carry over to this project was amazing, and they're still one of my favorite bands. So what was significant about this album And this song in particular was when I was 21, I left the country to go study in New York. And this was the first time that I had been away from home for such an extended period of time that I wasn't going to be seeing my family for an extended period of time. And obviously when you're leading up to it, you're super excited, you're like, this is going to be amazing. You don't really stop to think about the fact that you're going to be leaving people behind, that you're going to miss certain people. I hadn't been without family for a while. And it sort of all struck me at once when I was on the flight, which was, I believe, New Year's Day.
Of that New Year's year. Day, New York.
Yeah, so there was a heavy hangover coupled with the fact that I was saying goodbye to my parents at the airport. It was very emotional. Thankfully, nobody was sitting next to me on that flight. Because I think I spent the entire, 3.5 hours to get to England just in tears listening to the greatest hits of Foo Fighters. Yeah, but to be perfectly honest, this was really good because I kind of got it all out of my system at once.
Before you got to New York and had
Before I got to New York, I had a layover in London and it was like, okay, we got it out of the system. Let's put it together. And it was like razor sharp focus, dude. This is why I'm here. This is what I want to get out of. Like, I'm leaving my family and friends behind for a little amount of time. Let's really make it count.
So what did you go to New York to study?
Culinary arts.
Oh, okay.
So I went to the Culinary Institute of America in upstate New York and spent 2 years learning about food. It was essentially like, imagine Hogwarts, but instead of magic, they had food and pastries and savory things. It was incredible. It was a really great experience.
Culinary Quidditch.
I put on about 10 kilos in the first 2 months.
Okay.
Thankfully, there was a gym like right next to our dorm, and my roommate, he used to be the captain of his football team in high school, and he had also put on a few pounds and was not happy about the situation, so he drilled us into daily workouts for several months after that, and we shed it.
Yeah, because, I mean, they do say, though, never trust a skinny chef.
Yes, but I'm not going to get into that too much. I promise you, we are just as trustworthy as the heavier chefs, let's say.
You're just not licking your fingers every time. That's probably a better thing.
That's probably
actually
a better thing, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to listen to Everlong by the Food Fighters. Dream of flying to New York, please. This is another band, no idea. Great video. When I watched it, the glass animals, gooey.
Oh, I love this one.
Great, great video.
So we're going a little bit different in sort of the style of music here, but this was very reminiscent of my time in San Francisco. So when I finished from my studies in New York, I went to work in Manhattan for a 6-month internship. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, New York's amazing, but I am a island boy and this weather during the winter is not for me. So I caught a plane to the West Coast. I had a year of working in San Francisco, which I absolutely adored. And on my days off, so working in a kitchen, your schedule is pretty all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a pretty tight schedule, so the chances that you have a day off with somebody from work who you actually get along with are sort of sporadic. So you take those and you go out and you eat and it's amazing. But there are lots of days where you're sort of left to wander the city and just like taking the sights. This album was something I found sort of Spotify had suggested it to me during my stay there, and it's very sort of light and airy and bubbly, and it's just absolutely perfect for wandering the streets of a city like San Francisco.
And when you were in San Francisco, so you stayed there for a year.
A year, yeah, 13 months.
So chefing, obviously.
Chefing about, it was a pretty heavy schedule, so working about 6 days a week, mm-hmm. and that'd be like 80-hour weeks.
Ouch.
So you have one, maybe 2 days off a week if you're lucky. I think once they lined up back to back. So you take your free time as it comes. Some days are just passed out on the sofa recovering from the heavy work week. But when I did get a chance, the food over there is absolutely incredible. So I'd spend what little wage was remaining after paying for San Francisco rent on stuffing my face with anything that I could. But a lot of it was spent just enjoying the sights, going for like walks. There was this one hill where you have an incredible 360 view of the entire city. I believe it was called Bernal Heights. Absolutely stunning.
One of my favorite meals was in San Francisco, actually, and it was the simplest thing. It was a boiled egg with boiled quail's eggs, and then topped with caviar with sweet potato fries.
Oh, amazing. See, a place like San Francisco is where you can find something like that. If you were the type of person who likes fried chicken with caviar on it, not to over mention the whole caviar stick, but it is the perfect place for that kind of food. Both high end and also like the super low end, like cheap eats, are absolutely incredible.
And they have such a mix of cultures. So what kind of restaurant 100%. Had you worked in?
So I worked at a place called Quince. We're a 2-Michelin-star sort of fine dining, American California-style restaurant, but with heavy influence from Italy and France, because mm-hmm. the chef had worked there. A lot of the team were French culinary trained. A lot of the team actually had worked in the restaurant I worked at in Manhattan, which was Per Se, so it was a natural fit once I got there. It was very much so this beautiful, intricate, like technique-driven food, but the big thing for me was where we got all our food. So every Saturday I would wake up early, and me and the chef would go on very, very little sleep, so we're talking like 3-4 hours of sleep, with this massive cart of produce going through the farmer's market, talking to our producers and being like, hey, what's good at the moment, what's coming up, so we can start planning the menus, and being sort of very low on the totem pole. My job was to push this enormous cart of food around while the chef would go do his thing.
It's purchasing assistant, that's classed as.
That is actually how it made it out to be on my CV. So
that's not the same market that the general public get to go to.
It is the one and the same.
The Fisherman's Wharf one?
Precisely.
Ah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. We would get our produce from the exact same place.
Ah, okay. Because I went there and I just couldn't believe, you know, there was a mushroom stall and I've just never seen so many different types of mushrooms in my life.
Everything. Even the guy selling cauliflower has 5 different types. The guy who's selling cabbage has 6 different types. Like there's a guy who primarily sells root vegetables and potatoes, and you've got like 8 different potatoes to work with. It was a joy.
And they have that lovely food court as well, so you can stop and nibble and you just don't want to leave, actually.
Incredible, incredible.
Ah, why did you leave? Because you had to come back work permit stuff?
Work visa. My chef was actually trying to make an argument for staying there illegally.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, look at half our dishwashers kind of thing. Like, it can't be that bad. But no, by that point, I hadn't seen family or friends for going on 13 months.
Uh-huh.
Some friends had just graduated from their master's degree. They flew up to San Francisco just as I was ending my visa. And we did a 4-week road trip to New York. So that was an absolute blast. We wanted to murder each other by the end of it, but it was a lot of fun.
One of the tracks you were playing on the way up there, Glass Animals?
Potentially, but the memories are very hazy.
Well, we're going to listen to this because it's quite bubbly.
Yeah, let's call it bubbly.
Show you everything I know.
the last one. I love this song, actually, and I was really happy to see something like this on here. We've got the ELO and Mr. Blue Sky, which you just, you know, just makes you tingle. Okay. It just makes you already want to dance away in your car.
So, separate and unrelated, I absolutely love this track. I think the first time I actually heard it was when I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, their soundtrack's incredible. It's a lot of these sort of eclectic tracks of music. And this was something, so I would, for the past couple of years, I had been teaching workshops at the Mediterranean Culinary Academy. And we like having sort of like background music for people to cook to. It just makes it more fun. It makes it less. You're here
like
to learn.
It's like you're in your kitchen. Yeah.
Precisely. That's kind of the atmosphere that we're going for. And because this soundtrack is so inoffensive, so eclectic, so fun, light, easy listening, it was sort of my default for a while. And this was the very first track on the Spotify playlist. And the workshops where this music would be playing were actually where I met my current girlfriend.
Aww.
And one of the things that we started talking about was the music and how much you enjoyed it, how much you enjoyed the films and the classes. So
this really sort of takes
me back to the beginning of each of those lessons, even before most of the class had arrived, this would be playing as.
Because it's funny, because when I saw it and then I had to listen to it again, because it just does cheer you up. But it made me wonder if it was because of the lyrics, like, Mr. Blue Sky, where have you been hiding for so long? And I thought it was because you chefs just work all the hours and you just wanted to see sort of Mr. Blue Sky. But so I'm glad it's got a better story.
No, it has a much
than the one I made up for
purpose.
You. Never let me write your autobiography, because I try to make things completely, well, I think, different, more interesting.
Makes it an interesting story, nonetheless.
But no, yours is better. So we're going to go out on this one. Going to play the whole thing. It's not that long. Mr. Blue Sky, Electric Light Orchestra. Thank you so much, Stephen LaRosa, for joining me and cooking up such an eclectic smorgasbord of music for this week's Musical Memories.
Everybody's fine to you.
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.